Good afternoon, it's 4:30 and 70 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Jacob Lindberg.
And I'm Kinsey Thompson.
There was kind of the realization that the zoning code also needed attention and updating because it hadn't been updated substantially since 1978.
Moorhead City Council is reviewing the first draft of a new zoning ordinance.
Slide repairs to Triple C Trail in Round County begin today.
A phone scam is making its way through Knox County.
Authorities have identified the man killed in an accident at Toyota Georgetown.
A search for Savannah Spurlock is in need of volunteers.
In sports, MSU hosts a doubleheader with Tennessee State tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
And a 100% chance of showers tonight with lows around 28 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Moorhead City Council met in special session today alongside the Joint Planning Commission to review the first draft of a new zoning ordinance. The original ordinance was passed in 1978 and hasn't been updated since then. Elizabeth Fields of McBride Dale Clarion serves as a consultant to the city, and she says she worked with the steering committee to draft the proposed changes in small chunks.
So that group, we met about monthly for the past year. Each month I would give them a section of the code. You know, sometimes it was 10 pages, sometimes 20. And we would go through it page by page so that we kind of attacked the code in little chunks instead of, you know, 50 or 100 pages at a time. That's really hard to review.
The council and commission gave their feedback, and the steering committee will work on an updated ordinance to address their concerns. A final draft will eventually be sent from the committee to the commission, who will then hold a public hearing before making its recommendations on the new zoning ordinance to the city council.
Crews began slide repairs today on Triple C Trail in Round County. The slip is near the Kentucky 32 intersection, requiring daily road closures during work hours for around 2 weeks. Alan Blair is with the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet. He says the closure will not affect emergency vehicle access.
We do ask people to detour during that time, using 1167 or Kentucky 173 to reroute through Moorhead or Elliottville.
Signs and message boards will be used to communicate any changes.
A car was struck by a falling rock on U.S. 23 in Johnson County. WYMT reports the W.R. Castle Fire Department responded to the incident and closed the roads until 10:30 this morning. The department said there is a good chance more rocks could fall and advised residents to use caution. No injuries have been reported at this time.
U.S. 23 along the Big Sandy River in Boyd County will reopen tomorrow afternoon. State highway crews have finished clearing debris, stabilizing the roadside slope, and cleaning ditch lines on Kentucky 757 after a mudslide that happened in December. Crews are expecting to move barricades between noon and 2 p.m. and reopen the road, which an average of 700 vehicles travel each day. Kentucky Department of Highways District 9 was given $66,000 for the repair project. The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet administers emergency funding to help counties, cities, and state highway district repair roads.
A potential phone scam is currently making its way through the Knox County community. WMKY's Haley Stidham has more.
Individuals are reporting receiving calls from someone claiming to be from the Social Security Administration. According to WYMT, the callers claim there is a computer issue and they need a confirmation of your Social Security number. Not much is known about the calls at this time. However, the Knox County Sheriff's Department says giving personal information out over the phone is not a good idea, especially when the caller is unknown. Officials believe the call is likely a scam and to not respond. Anyone receiving a suspicious call regarding Social Security can call 1-800-269-0271. For WMKY News, I'm Haley Stidham.
A Republican candidate for lieutenant governor in Kentucky was one of a dozen doctors federal authorities said received improper gifts from a home health agency. State Senator Ralph Alvarado is the running mate of Republican Governor Matt Bevin. News outlets report the U.S. Attorney's Office argued in a lawsuit that Nurses Registry and Home Health broke the law by giving gifts to Alvarado and other doctors to entice them to refer patients. The company settled in 2015 for $16 million. Court documents show Alvarado received $12,000 in campaign contributions between 2004 and 2010, plus two tickets to University of Kentucky basketball games, tickets to a coach's night event, and a gift basket in 2010. Alvarado wasn't named as a defendant in the civil case or charged. He criticized the reports as an attempt to smear his good reputation.
A man killed in a workplace accident at the Toyota plant in Georgetown has been identified. The Scott County Coroner's Office tells WKYT 33-year-old Antoine Brifford of Pikeville died Tuesday. Brifford was a father of three. Coroner John Goebel said an autopsy showed Brifford died from blunt force trauma to the chest. Investigators said Brifford became pinned between a truck and a trailer near Gate 21. Goebel said he and Kentucky OSHA continue to investigate the incident. Brifford will be buried in Alabama.
A volunteer search team trying to find a missing Madison County mother is in need of assistance. According to LEX-18, the Cajun Coast Search and Rescue Team will take its search for Savannah Spurlock to the Kentucky River today if they can find a boat. The team will begin near Camp Nelson to see if their search dog can catch a scent. The team says they already have one boat but is in desperate need of another. Officials say they have no reason to believe she's in or around the Kentucky River, but the team will search there anyway. To assist, contact the Cajun Coast Search and Rescue Teams through the organization's Facebook page.
We'll be back with more news right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from your Valentine's Day headquarters at the Ruth Hunt Candy Company, where candy makers are busy preparing Valentine's Day chocolates for everyone on your Valentine list. Heart boxes packed with chocolates and heart tins of pulled cream candy make perfect gifts. The factory store is at 550 North Maysville Road in Mount Sterling or 213 Walton Avenue in Lexington. A Kentucky tradition, chocolate-covered long-stemmed strawberries and grapes available February 11th through the 14th. Online orders at ruthhuntcandy.com.
Kentucky lawmakers have heard pleas from the parents of two teenage shooting victims as a school safety bill starts moving forward. The parents of Bailey Holt and Preston Cope told lawmakers there should be no higher priority than protecting children. Holt and Cope were killed in last year's shooting at Marshall County High School. The Senate Judiciary Committee advanced the bill, which legislative leaders have designated as a top priority for this year's session. The measure calls for hiring a state school security marshal to bolster oversight of school safety efforts. It also sets a state goal of hiring more school resource officers and enhancing mental health services in schools as deterrents to violence, but only as soon as funding becomes available.
A Kentucky lawmaker has filed a bill to ban child sex dolls in the Commonwealth. According to WKYT, Senator Whitney Westerfield has introduced Senate Bill 102, which will prohibit the possession or sale of a child sex doll. If the bill passes, possession, importing, or trafficking a doll would result in a felony charge.
The Attorney General's Survivors Council in Kentucky has inducted its second class. The council is the first of its kind in the country. Anita Franklin is one of the members that were introduced in Frankfort Wednesday.
The Survivor Council is so important because it advocates from the victim and the survivor's standpoint. It's our viewpoint which is impactful, and it will result in positive results.
The council advocates for victims' rights of crimes including human trafficking, sexual assault, child abuse, domestic violence across the Commonwealth.
Louisville Gas and Electric is seeking proposals to generate renewable energy. The company announced yesterday they are conducting a formal review and has issued a request for proposals from suppliers. Chris Whalen is the Vice President of Communications and Corporate Responsibility for LG&E. She says in addition to possibly cutting costs, the move comes as part of a goal to significantly cut the company's carbon emissions.
And we've done a number of projects over the last few years to help and reduce our carbon. We've retired three of our older coal plants. We're getting ready to retire two more. Like I said, we've done a bunch of emissions upgrades to our current coal plants. And we put in a natural gas combustion turbine, which also helped reduce the carbon. So we're making a lot of efforts into that goal, and this is just one more step.
All proposals are due by March 29th, and the evaluations are expected to be completed by late May.
Officials with the Food and Drug Administration are calling teen e-cigarette use an epidemic. According to WKYT, a small study has found that 43% of 4,500 incoming freshmen reported using a Juul specifically, which is the most popular brand of e-cigarettes. Dr. Melinda Ikes is with the Department of Kinesiology and Health Promotions at the University of Kentucky. She says although tobacco use has decreased among teens, Kentucky has a new problem.
A lot of them, when they first start, they think about the flavoring. They think, oh, this tastes good. And there's not that understanding that there really is enough nicotine compared to a pack of cigarettes.
Ikes and her students at UK have developed a program for middle and high school students called End the Trend to try and warn teens of the dangers of e-cigarettes.
Kentuckians rallied in Frankfort Wednesday in support for the legalization of marijuana. According to WYMT, there are currently four marijuana bills filed in Frankfort, including one for medical use. Renee Muncy from Leslie County traveled to Frankfort on behalf of her nephew, who has epilepsy.
I'm here for him. He's not able to attend today, so I'm here for him and anyone else who's not able to travel today.
Governor Matt Bevin has previously stated that he would never allow marijuana to become legal in Kentucky.
The fate of Marcy's Law, a crime victims' rights measure that won approval at the ballot box in 2018, will soon be in the hands of the Kentucky Supreme Court. WUKY's Josh James has more.
Please vote yes on Marcy's Law.
Named after a California student killed in the 1980s, Marcy's Law would expand crime victims' rights. Under the bill, victims would be guaranteed timely notice of court proceedings, the right to a presence in the courtroom, and other provisions. But last October, a judge ruled the wording of the ballot question was too vague. He allowed the votes to be tallied, but stopped the measure from moving forward pending further rulings. This week, the state Supreme Court will begin hearing oral arguments that could determine whether the law ultimately takes effect. Supporters say over 800,000 Kentuckians voted for the changes, while opponents maintain the question was poorly worded and Marcy's Law could upset the balance of the judicial system. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Ashland will heat up this weekend with a unique competition. WMKY's Tandy Wallingford has the story.
The Gravy Bowl is Ashland's competition featuring sample-sized biscuit and gravy dishes from local restaurants, community organizations, and home cooks. The event is scheduled for Saturday, February 9th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Ashland Train Depot. The competition is organized into three different categories: sawmill or meat gravy, country or meatless gravy, and a freestyle category. The Gravy Bowl also features a brunch bar and live music by Moonshine Crossing and the Sugar Beets. The Gravy Bowl is hosted by Ashland in Motion. They are currently accepting applications for teams or businesses wanting to compete in the cook-off. For more information, go to ashlandinmotion.org. For WMKY News, I'm Tandy Wallingford.
Taking a look at the extended weather forecast for the surrounding area. Tonight, a 100% chance of showers, mainly before 1 a.m. with a low around 26. Tomorrow, partly sunny, then gradually becoming sunny with a high near 34. Tomorrow night, clear skies with a low around 16. On Saturday, sunny skies with a high near 35 degrees. On Saturday night, mostly clear skies with a low around 22. Sunday, a 70% chance of rain, mainly after 4 p.m., mostly cloudy skies with a high near 43 degrees. Looking at the temperatures, in Flemingsburg, it is 69 degrees. In Maysville, 69 degrees. In Ashland, it is 73. In Inez, 74. Lexington, 71. And right here in Moorhead, 71 degrees.
On our feature segment today, a Kentucky-based company, Location Vaccination, is under investigation for multiple infections linked to vaccines. WMKY's Nacogdoches Miller has a story.
70 cases have been reported between Kentucky, Ohio, and Indiana, and the catalyst for the contamination is still being investigated. Doug Thurman is Kentucky's acting epidemiologist for the state's health department. He says the outbreak is linked to one provider.
The reactions that we're seeing are all associated with one vaccination provider based in Mount Sterling that goes around and vaccinates at area businesses. Like a company may say, can you come to a vaccination clinic for us? And they'll say, okay, and they show up and they set up in a break room and they offer the employees vaccination.
Thurman says the products were tainted after delivery.
Somewhere in the process, they have contaminated the vaccine since the time they received it, and they don't distribute vaccines to any other companies. They are just doing their own vaccinations.
Officials blame the handling for the contamination.
We've had a number of people get infected through that with different vaccines. It's not just one vaccine. So something's happened that's contaminating different vaccines. So we don't have any indication that the vaccine is contaminated itself. from the source, or the needles or syringes are contaminated so much, as something they're doing in their storage and handling process is introducing contaminants into the vaccine.
Thurman says why the investigation has been difficult.
We don't have much to go on because they destroyed much of the stuff that they were using. They said CDC told them to destroy all the stuff, so they destroyed it, and so we didn't have much to test.
The Department of Health says people should not worry about it being contagious.
Have it stored on ice or something when they have the syringes filled or something like that, that water could get to the vaccine. We're not quite clear how it could happen, but it definitely happened over and over again.
Thurman says who should be concerned of falling ill.
Yeah, I want to emphasize this. It's only people that were vaccinated by this one group, and it was almost exclusively at work sites. So if you're working for some company and they had someone come out and vaccinate and you got a vaccination, then you need to find out who did that.
The health department has released the names of the providers responsible.
Was it location vaccination or Paul McLaughlin's office? So he's the doctor whose license they were operating under, Dr. McLaughlin, and the woman who arranged it was Farshinda Sabunchi McLaughlin.
Thurman says it can take time to see symptoms.
Reactions can happen many, many weeks later. We've had, I just talked to a guy yesterday, or day before yesterday, who had his vaccination in the very beginning of October, and he just had a reaction on January 22nd is when it started. So several months later, because these non-tuberculous mycobacteria are very slow-growing in the body, so that may take weeks to get to manifest itself.
The health department says there are specific things to watch for.
Symptoms to look for are ongoing redness and pain and swelling at the injection site. So, you know, a lot of people get some minor vaccination reactions that go away in a couple of days, but these tend to keep going.
And it can even lead to abscess.
You might get a pustule or a pimple at the site, and then it might turn into an abscess where there's pus inside. Several people have had to go to the doctor and have that lanced, and a lot of matter has come out of that. And then some people are getting hard knots or nodules down under the skin. So it's a couple people have had to have those removed surgically. So it's a fibrous nodule formed by the non-tuberculous mycobacterium down in the muscle tissue.
Thurman says anyone can report a vaccine reaction.
A report can be made to it's called the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, VAERS, and that's a CDC-FDA online reporting system where they can report that they had a vaccination and this reaction occurred. Physicians usually do that, but anybody can do it. You know, if you had a reaction, you can get online and submit a report.
For WMKY News, I'm Nacogdoches Miller.
The time is 4:48. I'm Jacob Lindberg here with Kinsey Thompson, and we're glad you joined us on this Thursday afternoon. WMKY's Leanne Akers has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes and the Laughlin Building are open to the public, with 6 lanes for birthday parties, private groups, lane by the hour, or per game pricing. Also available is Cosmic Bowling for birthday parties with disco and black lights for that glow-in-the-dark experience. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 5 to 9 p.m., Sunday and Monday by reservation. More information and reservations at 606-776-3457.
The Eagles take flight in Johnson Arena. For WMKY Sports, I'm Leanne Akers. The Morehead State University basketball teams have a doubleheader at home this evening. The Eagles will be playing Tennessee State, who the women's team has already beaten once this year. Head coach Greg Todd expects things to be tougher this time around.
They were missing one of their best players, Taylor Roberts, who had sprained her ankle. She's back now, so they'll be a little different team. They've won actually 2 of their last 3 games, so you know they're a team that's playing better. So we definitely want to be ready to play on Thursday.
As for the men, head coach Preston Spradlin says his guys have been gearing up as they continue to work towards a spot in the OVC tournament.
You run into a bit of desperation when you get to some of these other teams because there is separation with some programs within our league as you get halfway through the league, obviously, through the schedule with the standings. But then you've got the ones at the bottom that they're fighting. They're fighting for those conference tournament spots. And, you know, we'll very much be one of those teams as well. But I think we have a great opportunity to not only secure a spot, but get a great seed going forward so that we can have a postseason run.
The women tip off in just a few minutes. It's set for 5:05 with the men's game following at 7:35 this evening. The Rowan County girls basketball team is beginning 3 straight days of games tonight. Now at 17-6 on the season, the Lady Vikings are preparing to square off against East Carter, followed by George Rogers Clark on Friday, then Saturday matchup with Raceland. And after, head coach Matt Stokes says things aren't really letting up.
We've got a busy actually last 2 weeks, because then next week, you know, we go from Saturday, play Monday, Tuesday, and then Friday. So a lot of games in the next couple of weeks. But some of these games we're playing 2 or 3 days in a row, I think will be great, because when it comes to district and regional time, that's what you have to do anyway.
The Lady Vikings tip off tonight at 7:30, and that game is at home. The Rowan County boys basketball team will be continuing their marathon as well this evening as they hit the road to take on East Carter. The Vikings have yet to face the Raiders this season. Head coach Sean Thacker says his guys have already played 2 games this week, and they'll need to keep the momentum rolling in what he says will be another tough contest.
East is playing really well. They won. I know they had a 6-game winning streak snapped by Boyd County there just the other night. Team has been playing really, really well. You know, Coach Baker always has his team ready to play, especially this time of the year. So it'll be a challenge for us.
Tip-off in Grayson is set for 7:30 tonight. Taking a look at some other basketball games tonight in the 16th region, the Lady Lions of Boyd County are headed to West Carter. Boyd stands at 19-4 on the season, coming off a loss at home Tuesday to St. Joseph Central out of Huntington, West Virginia. The Lady Comets are 17-6 on their season, looking to break a 3-game loss streak. In regional boys action tonight, 18-3 Elliott County host Morgan County. The West Liberty team stands at 15-10 on their season. Bath County hosts the Tomcats from Ashland Blazer. Fleming hosts Bracken County, and Greenup hosts Augusta. Tip-off in all 4 of those games is set for 7:30 p.m. 5 offensive linemen and a quarterback signed with the University of Louisville. That brings the total to 16 signed on the offseason. Head coach Scott Satterfield says he thinks he picked the right crop of players.
You know, we spent enormous hours and time, I think, over the last several weeks of trying to put together, you know, some type of players that we all will be proud of to bring here to University of Louisville and that'll fit our football team.
The Cardinals plan to start spring practice on Monday. Kentucky's football team drafted a 4-star pick on Wednesday. The Cats are planning to have great momentum going into next season. Head coach Mark Stoops says he feels confident in his signing choice.
Pleased to announce the addition of MJ, cornerback out of Aliquippa, Pennsylvania. Really good player, has great size, great speed, very versatile player.
While UK snagged Devonshire, they lost on top prospect Jay Ward, who committed to LSU over the University of Kentucky. The number of referees for high school sports has dropped in recent years, and officials say if the trend continues, there may not be enough officials for all the games. The main problem the referees have is the parents. Kentucky High School Athletic Association Commissioner Julian Tackett tells WKYT that even the kids can't take it from their parents' behavior.
Most of the time, what we notice, if you pay a lot of attention to it, you'll see this guy in the stands and he's chirping loudly. If his kid looks up there and catches an eye, drops his head, it's just like, oh my God, that's my dad.
80% of younger referees say they leave because of the verbal abuse from parents. And finally, in sports this afternoon, an undefeated champion leads the nominees for this year's Triple Crown of Horse Racing. KNN's Paul Miles reports.
362 3-year-old thoroughbreds got the early nomination to compete in this year's Kentucky Derby, Preakness Stakes, and Belmont Stakes. The group is led by Game Winner, the unbeaten 2-year-old champion and Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner. Game Winner is trained by Hall of Famer Bob Baffert. Other prominent nominees include stakes winners Improbable, Gunmetal Gray, and Harvey Wallbanger. 4 fillies were nominated, as well as 20 horses based outside North America. I'm Paul Miles.
And that's going to do it for sports for WMKY. I'm Leanne Akers.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle basketball welcomes Tennessee State for an OVC doubleheader tonight. The women's game begins at 5:05 p.m., and the men's action tips off at 7:35. Tickets on sale from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell sharply as it became clear that a trade meeting between President Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping would not happen before a key March deadline. And the Dow Industrials did drop 220.77 at 25,169.53. The S&P 500 was down 25.56 at 2706.05. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 86.93 at 7288.35. And sources did say that a meeting between President Trump and the Chinese premier at this point seemed highly unlikely before March 1st. And, of course, China and the U.S. have until this date to strike a trade deal. Otherwise, additional tariffs on Chinese goods will take effect. Shares of Caterpillar and Deere both fell more than 1%. Boeing dropped almost 1%. And, of course, these companies are seen as bellwethers for global trade, given their exposure to overseas markets. The markets were already on edge as worries about the global economy were rekindled. The European Commission slashed its growth outlook for the Eurozone this year as it expects the bloc's largest economies to be held back by global trade tensions, among other issues. Shares of BB&T and SunTrust Banks bucked the overall negative trend, gaining 4% and 10% respectively. The two stocks rose after BB&T agreed to buy SunTrust for more than $28 billion. The deal, which is the biggest in a decade within the banking sector, creates a $66 billion company and the sixth largest U.S. bank by assets. The SPDR S&P Regional Banking ETF rose 1.5%. In the commodities markets, oil is down 2.5%, finishing at $52.62. Gold was down 80 cents, finishing at $1,313.60 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, the Stoxx 600 index was down 1.5%, obviously reflecting the negative news out of Europe. In the Far East, stocks were mixed, with the Nikkei down 0.6% and the Shanghai Composite up 1.3%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Walmart and Travelers. The worst performers were Dow, DuPont, and Apple. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Hanes Brands and Chipotle, and the worst performers were Tapestry and Twitter. Trading out of stocks of local interest, it was Fifth Third up 6 cents at $26.78. Dollar General up $1.02 at $117.37. Marathon Petroleum announced earnings earlier today, and the stock was down $3.19 at $63.68. AK Steel was down 8 cents at $3.13. Delta Airlines down 11 cents at $50.41. And Yum Brands was unchanged at $94.59. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Rutabaker's has made-from-scratch cakes, pies and cookies, scones, braids and muffins. Lunch menu features sandwiches, soups and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe is open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Takeout orders and lunch reservations at 780-4282 or online at rutabakers.com.
Taking one more look at the extended weather forecast, tonight a 100% chance of showers, mainly before 1 a.m., with a low around 26. On Friday, partly sunny skies with a high near 34. On Friday night, clear skies with a low around 16 degrees. On Saturday, sunny skies with a high near 35. On Saturday night, mostly clear skies with a low around 22. On Sunday, a 70% chance of rain, mainly after 4 p.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 43 degrees. Taking one more look at the temperatures, in Flemingsburg right now it is 69 degrees, in Maysville 69 degrees, in Ashland 73, Inez 74, Lexington 71, and right here in Moorhead 71 degrees.
That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Leanne Akers, Haley Stidham, Brian Courtney, Naya Andwaza, Tandy Wallingford, Chaz Jenkins, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock, WUKY's Josh James, and Hilliard Lyons Bud Luke. And our feature story today came from WMKY's Nacogdoches Miller. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Kenzie Thompson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Jacob Lindberg for WMKY News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.